The scripture reading this evening is the 13th chapter of Hebrews, Hebrews 13, and it's verse 8. That's the text for this evening's New Year's Eve sermon. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever is the text. So I'm going to read from the 13th chapter of the epistle to the Hebrews. Listen to the word of the Lord. Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you also are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free from love of money, and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same, yesterday and today and forever. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods which have not benefited those devoted to them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent have no right to eat, for the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy place by the high priest as a sacrifice for sin are burned outside the camp. So Jesus also suffered outside the gate in order to sanctify the people through his own blood. Therefore, let us go out. Let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. I urge you the more earnestly to do this in order that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now, may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good, that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I appeal to you, brothers, bear with my word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. You should know that our brother Timothy has been released, with whom I shall see you if he comes soon. Greet all your leaders and all the saints. Those who come from Italy send you greetings. Grace be with all of you. So far the reading of the blessed and holy word of God. And the text again is, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Before we open this marvelous truth, let us seek his guidance in prayer. Our Father in heaven, as we look at this marvelous text, which teaches us that Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, who is true and eternal God and real righteous man, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, give us insight into this marvelous truth. Help us as we enter leave 2014 and enter 2015, that you are the same. Hear us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Dear friends in Jesus Christ our Lord, change is common to man. We all change. You see it very definitely in children. If you see pictures of when they were young and then see pictures when they're teenagers and when they're older and when they get married, and you just see remarkable changes. Change is very, very, it's part of the human race. It's part of the human situation. In fact, in this passage I read, the apostle to the Hebrews says that we have here no abiding city. Isn't that what he's... Here we have no abiding city, but we seek the city that is to come. We have no abiding city here because we change and the city changes, the surroundings change, everything changes. We are in the midst of constant flux. And that song is so true that we'll sing at the end of the service, "Abide with me, change and decay and all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me." So it's a wonderful thing that we know the one who doesn't change. And that's a great comfort. Malachi 3:6 says, "I, the Lord, change not. Therefore are you, O sons of Jacob, not consumed." And the reason they're not consumed is because God does not change. He made a promise to them. He swore an oath to them. And he could swear by no higher. He swore by himself that in blessing, I will bless thee, he said. And so, in Malachi, and the days of Malachi were a very difficult day. I mean, there was great apostasy on the part of the Israelites, the Jewish people. And the Lord said to them, "I, the Lord, change not. Therefore are you not consumed." If the Lord changed, they would have been consumed. But the Lord does not change, and therefore his people, his covenant people, those whom he called and elected from all eternity, they are not consumed. And so by faith, we lay hold upon this unchangeable God, this unchangeable Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And tonight we're looking at that beautiful verse. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We're going to look at three things: Jesus Christ yesterday, Jesus Christ today, and Jesus Christ forever. Very simple. The book of Hebrews is all about Jesus Christ. And the reason is because these Jewish Christians who lived in Rome, to whom the book of Hebrews is addressed, about the year 68 A.D., they were under stress, under terrific persecution. He describes some of that persecution in chapter 10 of Hebrews, where he says to them, "But recall the former days, when after you were enlightened, you endured hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully," listen, "you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised." You see, the problem in Rome there among the Jewish community is that they had a Christian start. I mean, they were Christians. They had committed themselves to the Lord. They knew the Lord. But they came, probably for business reasons and other reasons, to Rome, and there was great persecution against Christianity. There was not that persecution against the Judaism. The Roman authorities could live quite comfortably with the Jewish religion, but they had absolutely no use for the Christian faith, because they felt that Caesar was Lord, and here these Christians had the audacity of saying that Jesus was Lord. And the Romans just could not put up with that. And so there was terrific persecution against the Christians, and they were under pressure to give up that faith in Jesus Christ. They were really pressured to say, Caesar is Lord and not Jesus, and they wouldn't do it. Some of them experienced suffering, imprisonment, confiscation of property. I mean, that's an amazing thing, isn't it, that they were willing to submit themselves to that kind of persecution for the sake of Jesus Christ. And so this letter, this epistle of the Hebrews is written to them to encourage them, because some of them were in danger of giving up the Christian faith and saying, okay, well, we'll go back to Judaism then. And so the author to the Hebrews, and we're not sure exactly who it is. It could have been Paul, could have been Apollos, could have been some. No, we don't know. The church has never really determined who the author to the Hebrews is, but we know that the author to the Hebrews was inspired by the Holy Spirit, and this is one of the books of the canon of the Bible. And so the whole theme of the book of Hebrews is that Jesus Christ is worth it all. Don't give up on Jesus Christ. In the first chapter, the author of the Hebrews says, Jesus is greater than the angels. And then he says in chapter 3, Jesus is greater than Moses. And then chapter 4, Jesus is greater than Joshua. And then Jesus is greater than Aaron. And Jesus is the great high priest. He is the king over all. He is the prophet par excellence, far better than Moses. Moses looked forward to him. Joshua did. Aaron did. He is the fulfillment of all the Old Testament prophecies. And so the author to the Hebrews says in the first part of this beautiful book, he says, God, having of old time spoken unto the fathers by the prophets in many different ways, has finally spoken unto us with finality and with completeness in his Son. And now he identifies who Jesus is, his Son, by whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. He is the radiance of the Father's glory, the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. That's Jesus Christ. So don't give up on him. Do not give up on him. And so he contrasts, in a way, Jesus with all the great saints of the Old Testament. In the 11th chapter, he says, being surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, and he talked about the witnesses, beginning with Abel and all the way through the prophets. But in the 12th chapter, he says, being surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, let us run with confidence the race before us and look unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and has sat down in the right hand of God on high. He is the one you must look to. And now here in the chapter 13, he says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now I want to ask you, when we read that Jesus is the same yesterday, how far back does yesterday go? How far back does yesterday go? Well, I just read in the first chapter that Jesus was the one by whom God created the world. So how far back does it go? It goes back to before time, before the world was made. Who is Jesus Christ? He is the I am that I am. He never had a beginning. In fact, in John 8, he says, before Abraham was, I am. He is the one who spoke to Moses from the burning bush. I am that I am. He never had a beginning. And so, when did yesterday begin? It never began. It is from everlasting to everlasting. He's the one of whom Moses speaks in this 90th Psalm as I began the service. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth of the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. This is Jesus Christ, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are from everlasting to everlasting. So when does yesterday, when did that begin? It didn't begin. It always is. But when the author to the Hebrews uses the personal name Jesus Christ, he does refer to a historical person who was born in Bethlehem, who took upon himself a human nature. He was from all eternity, but in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem us who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons and daughters. And so, he had a beginning in his human nature. We just celebrated that. And so, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, according to his human nature, the yesterday speaks of history, the historical Jesus, who was born in Bethlehem and who lived and died and rose again and ascended to heaven. Now, what's the significance of yesterday? Well, the significance of yesterday is that the entire salvation which God planned from all eternity was fulfilled in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Yesterday. We go look back at yesterday. In the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, the bread is broken, the wine is poured out, remembering what happened. Yesterday, it happened. It was a real occurrence in time and place. You can mark the spot where he was born. You can mark the spot where he died. You can mark the spot where he rose again and where he ascended to heaven. It is real history. It really, really happened. And the significance of it is that this is the foundation of our faith. It is the foundation of who we are. It is the very foundation of the church of Jesus Christ. For as Paul says, the church is built on the foundation of the prophets and apostles with Jesus Christ the chief cornerstone. Now, when the apostle of the Hebrews says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the word same means really Jesus Christ is himself everything he said he was. He is the same. He has never changed. Oh, he changed. He was a baby in Bethlehem, and he was a young boy in Jerusalem talking to the elders in the temple, and he was an adult in the days of his public ministry. Sure, he did change in that sense, but what he did has never changed, and who he is has never changed. He is the same, and the history is the foundation of the today and the forever. And so when the apostle to the Hebrews says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, he is saying that yesterday the foundation was laid. It was laid in history, and it is the foundation upon which you and I rest today and forever. It is absolutely the anchor of our souls. It's the anchor of our lives. Without it, without that great and glorious truth that Jesus Christ is everything he ever said he was, we would be floundering and unable to make any sense out of anything. And you probably meet people who have no idea of who Jesus Christ really is. This is something that you and I have to really give witness to also. We have to be ready always to give an answer to anyone who asks you concerning the hope you have. And our hope is rooted in the work of Jesus Christ, the person and work of him. His resurrection from the dead, having given his life on Calvary for our sins, and arose gloriously on the third day. His resurrection is the anchor of our souls. And we have to give a testimony as to why we have a hope. Why we know who we are. That we have the only comfort in life and in death. That I am not my own, but I belong to him, Jesus Christ, my faithful Savior. That word faithful means he's the same. All the time. Yesterday, today, and forever. So the yesterday is the history. It's the foundation. It's where it all happened and where it rests. And that's where we stand. That's where we teach our children. That's where we go in life and in death, standing upon what happened yesterday. Now, what about today? When is today? Well, today would be not only December 31, 2014, that is today, but that word today really refers to the time between Christ's first coming and his second coming. That entire period of time between the two advents of Jesus Christ, his first advent and his second advent, that's the today. And he's the same today. This is the day in which we live. And it is an advent, Jesus said, it's to your advantage that I go away. Because if I do not go, the Comforter will not come. But if I go, I will send the Comforter to you, that he may abide with you forever. That's the Holy Spirit, of course. And the Holy Spirit is the Comforter who abides with us, who guides us into all truth. He's the one who connects the risen, reigning Christ with us. He connects us to him by his presence in our lives. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Father, the Spirit of the Son, who abides with us, witnesses with our spirits that we are his children. The Holy Spirit is there day and day and night. You know, this was an issue in the Middle Ages of where is Jesus now? That is according to his human nature. In the time of the Reformation, there were those, the church from which the reformers left and tried to reform and were very frustrated in trying to reform the Roman church. But the Roman church said that the body of Jesus is omnipresent. They use the word ubiquitous. That means he's the body of Jesus is omnipresent. And especially in the communion, where the bread turns into the body and the wine turns into the blood. And the reformers said, no, that's not true. That's not true. Jesus' body is not omnipresent physically. And in the Heidelberg Catechism, it deals with it specifically in Lord's Day 18, which deals with the ascension. And it asks this question. In the ascension, did Jesus leave the disciples, leave the church? And how is it possible then that it's true that he said, I will be with you always? How can he be gone and still be with us always? And you see, they had to deal with that. How can Jesus be ascended to heaven and still say, I will be with you always to the end of the world? And so the writers of the catechism answered that in Lord's Day 18 and said, when Jesus ascended into heaven, he did ascend into heaven. But remember that Jesus has two natures, a human nature and a divine nature. As to his human nature, he is no longer on earth. And so don't go looking for him. You don't have to go to Jerusalem to try and find Jesus' body. It's not there. His body arose and his body is now at the right hand of God in heaven. Physically, that's where he is. And those who die in the Lord will see him face to face. His body is there. His physical body is in heaven at the right hand of God. But he's also a divine nature. And with his Godhead, majesty, grace, and spirit, he is not absent from us for a moment. He is with us day and night, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, every moment from the moment of our conception to the moment of our physical death. He is with us. He is not absent from us for a moment. That's what it means that he is the same today. What a wonderful truth that is. And so the author to the Hebrews says to his readers who were in danger of giving up on Jesus, he says to them, keep your life free from the love of money. Don't worry. Be content with what you have. For it is said, I will never leave you and never forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? What can the Romans do to me? What can those who hate Jesus do to me? Nothing. No one can lay a hand on me, says the author to the Hebrews. Don't give up on this. Jesus is the same today as he was yesterday. He is the same. His years do not change. He is always exactly who he ever was. So never fear. And don't worry. Don't worry about money. Do not worry about money. Be free from the love of money. And be content with what you have, for he has said, I will not leave you, and I will not forsake you. Don't worry. The psalmist in Psalm 37 says, I am old, and I was once young, and I have never seen the righteous forsaken, and I have never seen his seed begging bread. Never. Jesus said, don't worry about what you're going to eat or what you're going to wear. Look at the birds. You see the birds fly even in this bitter cold weather. They don't worry. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And then look at the lilies of the field. They're dressed in more beautiful garb than Solomon was with all of his riches. And the Lord takes care of them. Don't worry. Don't worry. Be content with what you have. For he says, I will never leave you, and I will never, never, never forsake you. That's Jesus Christ today. Every moment. Day in, day out. You go through sorrow. You lose a loved one who dies in the Lord. Don't worry about that, because your loved one is safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast. Don't worry. The Lord will take care of you. Are you sick? He has come into this world, Jesus did, to bear our sicknesses and our afflictions. He has carried them all. He understands our needs. He understands us better than we even understand ourselves. So don't worry. He is the same today. Now, thirdly, he is the same forever. Now, when does forever end? It doesn't. Forever does not end. That is unto all eternity. You know, in the Jewish people lived along the shore, you might say, or near the Mediterranean Sea. And they looked west and saw the sea, the Mediterranean Sea. And where they saw the sky meet the sea at the horizon, their word eternal, everlasting, was beyond that, beyond the point of the horizon, beyond that. It's forever. There's never an end. He is the same unto all eternity. That's the future of the child of God. In comparison to our lifetime, this Psalm 90 that I started with, it says the years of our days are 70. That's 70. Or if by reason of strength, 80. That's 80. That is the time that psalm speaks of as far as human life on earth is concerned. There are a lot of people that go over 80. There are some that reach 90. There are some that reach 100. But there aren't very many that go beyond 100. In comparison to a lifetime, eternity is immense. And Jesus is the same there. He's the same as he was in the beginning, as he was today, as he is today and will be forever. It's the same Jesus. And you know what? Jesus prays. He says, Father, this is John 17, verse 24. Father, I will that those whom you have given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory that I had with you before the world was. So Jesus is praying that we may be with him. That's quite a prayer. That's a beautiful prayer. And you know that when Jesus prays, his prayer is always answered. And so everyone whom the Father gave him will come to him. And everyone who comes to him, he will in no wise cast out. He'll welcome us. It's the same Jesus who said, "Let little children come to me," who loves us with an everlasting love, who said, of whom John the Apostle says in John 13:1, Jesus, having loved his own, he loved them to the end. And so as we go from 2014 into 2015 at midnight tonight, there's a change of calendar. It's a change of year. But Jesus never changes. He is always the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, there's so much more that could be said. But this is the kernel of it. The wonderful truth. This Jesus, he is yours, he's mine. That's why Paul could say, for me to die, to live, for me to live, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. You can't say that about anything else. If someone says, for me to live is money, to die, you can't take it with you. If he would say, for me to live is to be popular, to die is to be forgotten. For me to live is to be famous. Likewise, to die is to be forgotten. There's only one way, one, only one, in which death is gain. And that's for me to live as Christ. To die is gain. Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And everyone said, Amen.